You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, there's been a lot of information flowing back and forth as to, you know, what was actually behind this Venezuela action, the, you know, whether oil, gold, minerals, whatever. What's the story here?
Well, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we used the analogy of taking a cue ball to break up the all the balls on a game of pool. And that's really what the administration has done with Venezuela. It's not about oil. The U.S. is the largest exporter of oil, the largest producer of oil right now. We don't have the biggest reserves, but we're very efficient in production. We don't need any more oil. But it's about a lot of the secondary effects and also the fact that Maduro was not legitimately elected. There was an election. He lost. He stayed in office. Essentially, all of the presidents of the countries in Central and South America said that Maduro lost, so he was illegitimately in office. He's definitely involved in drug smuggling. That's one of their cash crops because they've destroyed most of the other part of the economy. But in terms of what's really involved, it's about a number of different countries. And you start with Russia, China, Iran, Cuba, and then finally Venezuela. But starting at the top, we're wrestling with how to stop Russia in Ukraine. And, you know, the president is reluctant to send additional weapons, but he recognizes that Russia has a very hard time running their economy with low oil prices. If oil prices are below about $90 a barrel, Russia has a budget deficit. Well, they're about $56 a barrel now. If Venezuela, which has the largest reserves in the world, even larger than Saudi, is brought back online, oil prices could come down significantly. Now, if you just adjusted oil for inflation over the last 50 years, it should be about $42 a barrel right now. So it's a little bit higher than inflation adjusted, not ridiculous. But every dollar that we push oil prices down hurts Russia and their ability to continue this war in Ukraine. So one of the Venezuela things is the attack on Russia's oil price and Russia's ability to fight this war. A second target is China, and China is a big importer of oil. They're simultaneously two things. They're putting in more solar panels than any other country on the face of the earth, but they're also opening more coal-fired and oil-fired generating plants. And China intends to be energy independent, which they're not right now. Now, they have lots of coal, and they don't mind burning coal. They have lots of acreage where they can put up solar panels. So their objective is to become energy independent. And they really are loving the war in Europe because with Russia not having options, they're able to buy Russian oil and gas at a significant discount. So they're bleeding Russia, really effectively making Russia a colony of China. They're seeing Russia's army become depleted, 100,000 plus soldiers killed, and they share a very long common border. So as China looks at Russia, they say, as long as this war goes on, we're getting cheap oil, Russia's getting weaker, who's our immediate neighbor, and it will make it easier for us to negotiate deals to get resources in Siberia. Well, the attack on Venezuela, to the extent that it causes China to have a challenge importing oil, is good for the U.S. It also weakens Russia in their ability to fight. You go on to Iran, my goodness, 4 days of significant protest, hundreds of people killed. Iran's protests are led by shopkeepers, middle-aged folks, and students. The shopkeepers are devastated because Iranian inflation is 42%. The rial has collapsed, which is their currency unit. Iran was using that shadow fleet of tankers that we have started to interdict and capture as they go to Venezuela. So Iran's ability to export oil, their ability to fund terrorism, is diminished. And the people in Iran are absolutely frustrated with high inflation, low prospects. And they look around, they look at places like Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, which are phenomenally wealthy. And Noel, I think I mentioned, I just got back from Dubai. I stopped counting cranes in the sky at 50. And wow. It's just a phenomenal thing. So the Iranians are looking at that and they're saying, Dubai's overrun with wealth. I mean, you've got more Maseratis, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, you know, Bentleys, Rolls Royce, phenomenal office towers, great malls. You know, people are doing well. They're building like crazy. And the Iranians are saying, wait, that could be us. You know, Dubai has nothing but sand and oil. And they've turned it into a big trading city, a big airport hub. And the Iranian citizens are saying, we're starving. I mean, we literally we're devastated. We can't make money. We can't do well. So the Iranians are in the streets protesting. And ironically, the old chant, death to America, is now death to Khomeini, death to the revolution. So citizens are fed up. And this action in Venezuela gets Iran on the back foot. That moves on to Cuba. And Marco Rubio, if you could give him truth serum, I believe he would say this is his prime objective. You know, his family is Cuban by ancestry. He would love to see Cuba turned around. Now, Cuba is a small country. There are only 10 million Cubans. You know, we talk about Cuba all the time like it's a big deal. It's a wonderful country. I love the people. I love visiting there. But there aren't a bunch of them, and 20% of them have immigrated over the last 3 years. But the Cuban economy is absolutely in the toilet. Power is off. You can't store food. You can't get gasoline. You can't get medicine. The myth of the Cuban medical system is just that, a myth. You have smart Cuban doctors, but no medicine, no ability to do a follow-up. I have a friend in Cuba that just went in the hospital, and he said, you're not going to believe what I had to bring. I said, well, tell me. He said, had to bring sheets, pillows, blankets, which I expected, bandages, ibuprofen, because that was the only pain reliever, but also catheters. It's like, where do you go to get a catheter? I mean, really? So you have to show up at the hospital with your own supplies. And then they said, look, if you get a prescription, you're going to have to get a friend in the U.S. to fill it, because we don't have those drugs in Cuba. So this attack on Venezuela is also an attempt to get the Cuban regime to turn over and end up with a democracy. And then finally in Venezuela, unfortunately, we've left the old socialist regime in place, I really would have been a lot happier if we'd said, look, you have an elected president. He won a year ago. You've got a wonderful young lady that won the Nobel Peace Prize. You have great opposition figures. If you don't install them, then let's have elections in 3 months, 6 months, and turn it over to a democratic regime that will run things for the people. But Venezuela is about all these different countries and all these different objectives. Now, you know, once you start this, you never know what happens. So, you know, we've broken the balls on the pool table. Now we see where they go. But for sure, we have a lot of different implications and a lot of things that they're stirred up.
So with all of that said, and in that context, obviously duration of this is important, right? How long can we have this go on before we get the desired result that we're looking for? Because you got a lot of different parties on a timeline that are going to be seriously or significantly impacted at different points in time. How long, though? I got to imagine Cuba falls first, right? So what do they do then?
Yeah, it might be a toss-up between Cuba and Iran, because Iran is, you've had days and days of really serious protest. Cuba, because the security forces have been so effective in, you know, taking away weapons from any normal Cuban, and they really don't have a tradition of democratic institutions for the last 50 years, that's going to be a little tougher. And because people are literally struggling every day to put food on the table, it's hard to get involved in political change when you're hungry and really on the verge of being desperate every day. How long do we stay involved? I would hope that we would stay involved long enough to ensure a peaceful transition in Venezuela. Once again, you've got an opposition party. They're organized. They've won the votes. It would be wonderful to have them in place and then talk to the new administration and say, look, you need to arrest the Cuban security people that are in Venezuela. You know, they're part of the problem. They were part of the torture, part of the murder that Maduro was involved in. And this doesn't happen quickly. I mean, you don't turn things over and you don't turn it on a dime. But Venezuela has so many resources. I think it's a country that in 2 or 3 years would be remarkably better off if we could get rid of the socialist regime and get the opposition in place.
Yeah.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's One of the other countries that you failed to mention, Nicaragua, relies on Venezuelan money a lot as well. Daniel Ortega, an oppressive leader there, has gone out after the Catholic Church in many respects. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Another domino that could fall here. Let's pivot a tale of two cities. New York heads left. San Francisco heads to the center. This is an interesting phenomenon, to say the least.
Yeah, for years, a lot of people have had a lot of fun talking about San Francisco and their dysfunction, and rightfully so. You had a DA named Chelsea Boden that didn't believe in putting criminals in jail. You had a legislature that thought that if you stole less than $900, that wasn't really theft, and you could just walk out with it. You had a mayor, London Breed, who thought that you didn't need police and that it was okay to have homeless encampments everywhere and open-air drug use. And what happened is San Francisco went through a devastating property collapse. Values collapsed. Assessments had to be lowered. The budget is out of balance. And so as a result of all that, you had a man named Dennis Lorry elected mayor of San Francisco. And listen to the campaign he ran on. I'm going to balance the budget and cut down on crime. Now, he's a Democrat. He's not saying that he's on the far right wing or a Republican by any stretch. But this is a Democrat running on balanced budget, cut down on crime. And the head of the Democratic Party in San Francisco, Nancy Tung, really made an interesting point. She said, we in San Francisco went too far. We got sidetracked on social issues that people didn't really care about. We got sidetracked on things that made quality of life worse. And we followed our progressive instincts, and we literally went too far. And that's why we've had to have a course correction. That's why I say that guy Chelsea Boden was voted out as DA. Three school board members were voted out. They were voted out because when COVID shut down the schools and people saw how horrible the learning was on Zoom, the school board members said, well, we're going to refocus on naming the schools. That's going to be our focus this year, is renaming the schools. And the parents were like, how about focusing on educating the kids?
Yeah.
And it's sort of, where's your priority?
Well, there is no priority. I mean, it's all just showcasing, right?
Yeah. So what's happened is San Francisco has now said, you know, we need a course correction. We've gone too far. And we're going to get a balanced budget. We're going to cut down on crime. We're going to improve quality of life. And if they do, you're still in San Francisco. It's a beautiful city. It can make a comeback. And the challenge was, you know, people would go and visit, and they were just afraid. I mean, last year my wife and I went there for dinner one night, and, you know, I really was sort of cautious about where we parked the car. I said, I want to find a lot with a guard and security because, you know, I'm looking at all these people wandering around, you know, with backpacks and shopping carts and, you know, just I don't want them breaking into the car. So when you have that nervousness, it's hard to redevelop a downtown. But now the new mayor is saying, we're going to straighten it up. And the results have been pretty good. I mean, property values are beginning to come back up. There's beginning to be a little more confidence. Now, there's a lot of work to go. You've got some big empty malls that have to be redeveloped. You've got some big empty hotels that need to be redone. But San Francisco's realized they went too far, and they're moving back into the mainstream.
Yeah. And in San Francisco, too, they just reported some crime stats here recently. I think lowest crime rates since 1967, which is really interesting on top of all of that, too. And New York has seen some reductions, but not nearly what San Francisco has seen.
Yeah. And one of the things San Francisco did is I told the police, said, look, we're sorry, you know, you were bringing people in, we weren't prosecuting them, we're actually going to prosecute criminals now. And this idea of letting people steal a little bit and it's okay, that's over, we're not doing that. And the turnaround was remarkable. And, you know, most people in police work, and I don't know if you would agree, would say that there's a handful of hardened criminals, maybe in the hundreds, that do most of the crimes. And so San Francisco is apparently catching some of those.
Yeah, the more that you selectively incapacitate the impact criminal, you're going to see crime go down. I mean, that's their business, right, is to steal from people, to arm rob people, to harm people. That's what they do for a living. You lock them up and you'll see some immediate impact because they just go day to day to day committing these crimes.
Yeah, and so now we're seeing a very positive impact. And look, for America, it's great. San Francisco is one of the great world cities. We don't want it to be a disaster. It's not good for America. It's not good for the taxpayers in the rest of the states, because ultimately everybody ends up picking up the bill when things don't go well.
Yeah, it's and now what you're seeing in New York too, Guy, is already we're starting to see some court decisions coming out that are standing in the way of some of the stuff that Mondami wants to do, which is going to frustrate them even more, right?
Yeah, he's a true believer. And you really wonder sometimes when you look at things and you see this didn't work and you double down on it and it doesn't work even more, and then you do more of it and it continues to not work. It's like, at what point do you give up a belief that you have? And I think that the challenge is, this is a young man who really has never had a real job. You know, he was a production assistant for his mom on a TV show. He looks good. He's, very affable, nice smile, nice political style. But he's never had to make a payroll, never run a business, never run, a significant division of government. And so he has ideas that, many of us had in college. And, it used to be a saying, if you don't lean left when you're in college, you have no heart. If you don't lean right when you get a little older, you have no brain. I think he's still in the lean left and big heart, but reality has not intruded. And the challenge is, he's putting some people in place that are really dangerous. And, there are other true believers. And that's one of the unfortunate things, because he does have an impact on real estate and property in New York City. And he appointed a lady named Sia Weaver to be the head of New York's housing market. The problem with her is, it's hard. I'll let people make their own decision of what they think. I'll just read her statements. Private property is a weapon of white supremacy. Individuals need to devote themselves to the collective good. Families, especially white families, will have a different relationship to property. Now, when you have somebody like that who thinks that property is a collective good, not a private right, and Mondami seconded that. He said, we're going to replace the coldness with individual property rights with the warmth of collectivism. So she's now in charge of real estate. City of New York has a terrible, terrible reputation running the apartments that it owns. Horrible safety violations, significantly more safety violations than the rent-controlled apartments that are in the private market. Significantly higher costs, significantly worse tenant satisfaction. And yet her plan is, we're going to make it uneconomic for landlords to run rent-stabilized apartments. We're not going to let the rent go up as fast as expenses go up. And therefore, properties will become less valuable. Ultimately, people won't pay their taxes. And then we can put them under city ownership. And, what's happened is rent-stabilized buildings are already selling at a big discount. Significantly less than they did. Probably the worst example is a rent-stabilized building in East Harlem sold for 3%, 3 of its 2016 sales price. A city pension fund actually invested in rent-stabilized apartments, and they now have a 70% loss in that real estate pool. So the mayor and his housing assistant are doing their very best to make private property very challenging for rental apartments. And, you know, most of us in the economic world say, well, if you do that, you will reduce supply and you will ultimately create significantly more problems than you solve. And I think he's going to have to go through a cycle of seeing real problems occur before he becomes a little more rational. And look, some true believers never change.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know, you cited Nicaragua. I don't think Daniel Ortega has ever reconciled himself to the fact that he has essentially destroyed a once thriving, beautiful country.
No, there's no doubt, for sure. You're right. It's going to be interesting. You know, that young lady that you were quoting, I mean, there's probably three more pages of quotes from her that are just truly alarming. It's like,
yeah, and that's why I'm not going to characterize what she is. I'll just let people make their own opinions based on what she said. But that's scary.
No, it is scary for certain. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the new reality of our Social Security funding shortfall. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.